mighty work there, Father. And bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 6, and we'll read 5 through 7. And it says here, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And before we read the next verse, does that or does that not remind you of the day we live in? "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." Boy, I tell you, right now we have such a mess at our southern border. We have a mess over in Afghanistan. The abortions, the sodomy that's going on. I mean, and God saw back then in Noah's day, and he sees it all today. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And in verse 6 it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." And in verse 8 it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Even though there's wickedness and chaos all around us, just as it was in Noah's day, only we have it better than Noah, because they are people, they are Christians, truly born-again believers, that we can fellowship with. Noah and his family were the only ones in the entire world that God spared. We have it a little better than he did. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Even during all that wickedness, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As I was reading that, I'm thinking it doesn't really matter, per se, what's going on around us, how much wickedness there is, how much chaos there is, because you and I, just like Noah, we can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. He's the one that matters. He's the one that matters. So, reading that, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'll preach on that. That we, you and I, no matter what's happening around us, can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, in what we just got done reading there, God pronounces judgment upon mankind and prepares to destroy them with a flood. We find encouraging words concerning one man, and that's Noah. And those same words can encourage us here today. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, that's the question we have to ask ourselves if we want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's read verse 9, and that's going to tell us why he did. Verse 9 says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." That is why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that is why you and I can also find grace in the eyes of the Lord. It says he was a just man. It means he conformed to an ethical or moral standard. Have you ever noticed in out there in the world today, people have no morals at all. There's no standard in their lives. And just like we just got done reading, you know, all the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart were evil continually. That's the way it is today. If you can think it, people are doing it. I read the headlines, and sometimes I read articles on all the attacks that are just happening on people walking down the street in these big cities. And because somebody thought that evil and that wickedness, and they just acted upon it. But Noah was a just man. You know, he was ethical, and he had standards, even though all those around him did not. Remember, we're We're talking about how you and I can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. It says he was perfect in his generations. Now, the first thing I have to say is he wasn't sinlessly perfect. Okay? He was a sinner like you and I. But he still was perfect in his generations. Now, perfect means he was blameless. Okay? People couldn't point a finger at him and blame him for this, that, or the other. That's why he was perfect. How about you and I, though? The things we've done in the past or the things we're going to do tomorrow, can people point their fingers at us and place blame in our direction for the things we do or say? Perfect in that verse 9 that we just read has the idea of completeness. He was complete, or that which is entirely in accord with truth and fact. He was perfect in his generations. And it also says in verse 9 that he walked with God. You know, he listened to God and obeyed. And right there, I just put my finger on what the problem is here in this country of ours and around the world. People don't listen to God. If they don't listen to God, there's no way they can obey God. Noah listened and he obeyed. There's lots of people that sit in a church building across this country of ours and across the world that listen to the Word of God. But when they get out the church doors, they don't obey the Word of God. They have to go together. He had a relationship with God. When it says he walked with God, that means he had a relationship with God. Do you and I have that relationship with God? You know, a lot of people like to shake their fist at God and blame him for all sorts of different things that come along in their life. They're very quick to do that, but they also never want to give God any praise or credit when something good happens in their life. And it always amazes me, you know, you have people who say they don't believe in God, they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Those same people will raise their children to believe someone called the Santa Claus. That totally just boggles my mind. I don't get that at all. Even when they know there's no such thing as the Santa Claus, they want their children to believe that. But here we have a living God that wants to have a relationship with each one of us. And so many people refuse to believe in him. They'll believe one day. The scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, it will come to pass. But right today we're looking at how you and I can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it also says he did according to all that God commanded him. You know, well, let's still look at Genesis 6:22. And it says right here, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. And if we look at 7:5, I think it is. Chapter 7, verse 5, yes. Another verse that says, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And that reminds me of Matthew 4:4. That reminds me of Matthew 4:4. This is Jesus talking, and he said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I got a feeling that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he lived his life by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, I'm telling you, and I'll confess, there's lots of times I've been in church over the years, or I'm reading my Bible, and I for some reason, that word every but by every word. For some reason, I seem to neglect that word every. That means not leaving anything out. That means obeying what the Lord says. That's why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He listened to God and he obeyed God. So many times we pick and choose out of the Bible what we want to obey. And the things we don't want to obey, we let slide. But that's not what that verse says. It says, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That would be this right here. That every word. And that's what Noah did. He did all that the Lord commanded of him. Can that be said of us? Well, in times past, it can't be said of me. I mean, I'll be honest. Every word. But that don't mean it can't be tomorrow. That don't mean I can't live my life according to every word from the mouth of God tomorrow. I might not find grace in the eyes of the Lord today, but there's hope. We can find grace in the eyes of the Lord tomorrow, if that's our desire. You got to remember, the whole world, God did away with all of mankind, except for Noah and his family, because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it also says Noah was a preacher of righteousness back in Genesis 6:9. He was a preacher of righteousness. Let's go to 2 Peter 2:5. A preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:5 says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So that's why we just looked at some things we read out of Genesis 6:9 of why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, what do we do with that information? Well, we have to ask ourselves, what about you and I? Can you and I find that grace in the eyes of the Lord? Yes, absolutely. That's the good news. You and I can both find grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, we face the promise of the end of the world also, just like Noah did. Let's look at, we're in 2 Peter. Let's go to chapter 3. Well, let's read, I'd like to read 3 through, maybe I will. We'll read 3 through 14. I'll read fast. Okay, 2 Peter 3:3. God told Noah he was going to destroy mankind. Well, right here in Scripture, God telling us he's going to destroy this world. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Okay, we already talked about that. God sent a flood, destroyed mankind. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. You get that right there? He's not willing that you and I should perish. He wasn't willing that all those people back in Noah's day, he wasn't willing that they perish either. Remember, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching while he was building the ark. God wasn't willing that they should perish. God isn't willing that we should perish. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. They didn't know when that flood was coming. They had no idea when it was coming. Noah didn't even know when it was coming. Just like you and I don't know when the Lord's coming back. We have no idea. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Verse 11. Well, I'll read it right here. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? It's just reminding me of Noah right here when I read that. Verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot and blameless. That kind of sounds like being perfect in our generation, doesn't it? Just like Noah. We read in chapter 6, verse 9 in Genesis, why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it says right here, that ye may be found in him, of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The Lord wants us to be perfect in our generation, just like Noah was in his generation. And it's a whole lot easier for you and I to be perfect in our generation than it was for Noah. Let's see. How can you and I find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Number one, we must be just in his sight. We must be just, just like Noah. We must be just in his sight. The good news of the gospel is that God sent Jesus Christ in order to make us just in his sight. There's nothing we can do to earn that. It's only going to come through Jesus Christ. You know, let's look at Romans 5, 8, and 9. Romans 5, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us. That would be you and me. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified. We're talking about being just. Justified by his blood. That'd be the blood of Christ. We shall be saved from wrath through him. We must be just in his sight. And it's only going to happen through Jesus Christ. It's only going to happen through the blood of Christ. This blessing there is available to all who demonstrate true faith in Jesus Christ. It's available to all of us. We're in Romans. Let's go to chapter 3, starting in verse 23 through 26. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, again, that'd be you and me, and come short of the glory of God, being justified, there it is again, we're justified, just as though we've never sinned, even though we are sinners, we're justified by the blood of Christ. But only when we receive Christ as our Savior is that blood applied to our lives. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You and I must be just in God's sight, just as Noah was. Number two, we must be perfect in our generation. Boy, how this world needs men and women that are perfect in this generation right now. Not sinlessly perfect, because we're not. We're all sinners. We've already covered that. But we need to be blameless. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You know, God is a holy and righteous God. And we're commanded in the Bible to strive to be holy, to be blameless. I don't think a lot of people have that determination or that willingness to be holy, live their lives holy. Like, let's take tomorrow, for example. Are we going to get out of bed in the morning and try to live a holy life for God so that our lives tomorrow will glorify Him? We need to be perfect in our generation. You know, God has promised the necessary elements for us to be perfect. Again, we can't be just on our own. We need Christ to justify us. Okay, well, we can't be perfect on our own. We need Christ to do that for us. We have the blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sins. We have that available to us. If we look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 10, 1 John 1, 7 through 10, I mean, don't you want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? I mean, maybe you never have until this day. But after you listen to this, don't you want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? I don't want to find favor with the neighbor down the street, per se. I want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. 1 John 1, 7 through 10, it says, "But if we walk in the light," that's a big if today, "but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Remember, I told you Noah had fellowship with God. And it says right here, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In verse 8 it says, "If we say that we have no sin," and I've heard a lot of people say they're not sinners. And it says right here in the Bible, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins," once we get to that point in our life, this is actually talking to believers here, but once we get to that point in our lives where we sinned, immediately we need to confess it to the Lord. I have to believe that's what Noah did, and that's why he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's a wonderful place to be right there. That is a wonderful place to be. Verse 10, it says, "My little children, these things write unto you," whoops, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're never going to find grace in the eyes of the Lord until the blood of Christ is applied to our lives. It cannot be done. Well, actually, we ain't got time to look at it, but the Bible says we're enemies with God until we have the blood of Christ applied to our lives. Number two, we have the Word of God to instruct us and guide us. We have the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy. God has provided everything for us to be just in His sight. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. God's done all, Jesus Christ has done all the work. We just have to utilize what He's provided for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching us, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be, here it is, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But it only comes through the Word of God. It's only going to come when we get into the Word of God. You know, today, this day and age, there's so many avenues we can take to get into the Word of God. We have the written Word here in the Bible. You can CDs, live streaming, so many different things. There's so many different ways. You can listen to the Word of God driving down the road. You can listen. And the older you get, the worse our eyes get, and I can relate to that. You can listen to the Word of God. There's so many. We have it so much better than generations before us. So we need to be in the Word of God to be just in His sight. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. If you're born again believer, you have the Holy Spirit to help us. Now, if we look at Ephesians 3:16, Ephesians 3:16, and it says right here, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. It's the Holy Spirit that will enable us to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, let's look at another one. Romans chapter 8, 13 and 14. Romans chapter 8, 13 and 14. It says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We need more Christians in this world that are led by the Spirit of God. Noah was led by God. We have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. We're not going to find grace in the eyes of the Lord if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. We're just not going to do it. Number four, we must walk with God. We must walk with God just as Noah did. We can no longer live like the lost world. Not if we want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. We were in Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 20. Ephesians 4, 17 through 20. And it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." In other words, don't walk like the lost world. Don't live your lives like the lost world. There's got to be a difference in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. And let's look at one more. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." God says, come out from among them. Don't, don't live like the lost world. You know, if you knocked on 50 doors, 25, 30 people are going to tell you they're Christians. But their life looks like their life, the way they live their life, isn't no different than anybody else. How can those two things be? There has to be a difference. That's why the God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. We're not separating ourselves. Noah was separate. You know, I can almost see Noah back in his day, the wickedness that was going on all around him, people mocking him, laughing at him, but he was separate. He wasn't part of that. And that's what the Lord wants for us. If we want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, we need to be separate. We need to be followers of God as dear children. Ephesians 5:1. Followers of God. We just got done reading about how He'll be a father to us. Now we need to be a follower of God as dear children. Ephesians 5:1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You know, when we were that tall, when we were just little bitty people, little kids, we followed our mom and dads every place they went. You know, and a good mom and dad would want their children to follow them. Well, think of how much more God, the creator of the heavens and earth and all of mankind, wants His children to follow Him. That's exactly what Noah did. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We need to walk as children of light, exposing the sins of darkness. And that's exactly what Noah did. We're in Ephesians. Let's read 8 through 11. Exposing the darkness. For ye were sometimes darkness. That's back. I already told you we're all sinners. We already read it through the Word of God. Before we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were in darkness, spiritual darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Once we accept Christ as our Savior, once we're born again, we become light in the Lord. And then it goes on to tell us, walk as children of light. And that's what Noah did. In the next verse, well, I guess I read them both. We need to walk as children of light, exposing the sins of darkness. Number 5, we must be preachers of righteousness, just like Noah was. It's God's will that we should proclaim His praises and His righteousness. You know, if we look at 1 Peter 2:9, this is what God wants us to do. 1 Peter 2:9... It says right here, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What God wants us to do is take the light of Christ, let it shine through our lives, into the lost people's dark lives and bring them out of that darkness. It's not our light that's going to bring them out. It's Christ's light through our lives. And I'll just close with Romans 12, 1 and 2. Preachers of righteousness. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. See, you're talking to saved people here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. That's it right there. We have too many Christians that are conformed to this world. Noah was not conformed to the world around him. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've talked here today about finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it just, when I was reading that, it just struck me. I can find grace in the eyes of the Lord no matter what's going on around me. And so can you. You can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. But we must have a relationship with Him. We must walk with Him. We must be preachers of righteousness. We must let the light of Christ shine through us in order to bring people out of their darkness. You can find grace in the eyes of the Lord from this day forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day and this opportunity to put your word on DVD and take it to these dear folks that are shut in, Father. And I just pray that it would be a blessing to them. I ask, Father, that you work in their hearts and lives and meet their needs as only you can, Father. I pray that anyone watching this message here today, if they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they'll see their need for Jesus Christ and that free gift of salvation before it's eternally too late, Father. Just as you destroyed the world back in Noah's day, you destroyed all of mankind. Father, they perished. There's coming a day where we're going to die and we're going to stand before you. And if we don't know Christ as our Savior, then we're going to perish, Father. So I pray that you work in the hearts and lives of people and that you'll draw them to yourself. And Father, help us to realize that we can find grace in your sight. No matter what's happened in the past, we can find grace in the eyes of the Lord in the days ahead. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.